Judy! If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence and changing the showbread on this Sabbath day. Please bridle my tongue and bring all things to my remembrance whatsoever you've told me in regards to this topic. And thank you for blessing everyone here in attendance and all those that are on our prayer list with all the answered prayers that they need, even if the answer has to be no, because we know we only want to do that which you believe is best for us. Thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with eternal life and with the latter rain if we are so worthy, because we want to go forth and do those things that prophecies say no one else can do. We want to glorify you that much, and so thank you for removing all self, pride, and all those other seven deadlies. And thank you again for hearing this prayer and blessing us with an answer. In the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. I'm getting some comments on YouTube here in regards to people can't get in. And so give me a moment here. Let me just double check and see if it has grown in number. Nope. All right. Hopefully they're on the radio, because there's a lot of people on the radio right now. And I guess a lot of people that are using YouTube are using iPhones and they don't have Flash. And they can't even listen to the radio by clicking the Flash play button. But that's why I built those two new links. And I just sent the link out to everybody that allows them to use whatever their default MP3 player is on their cell phone, tablets, or computers. And so they're, you know, they should be able to listen in no problem. So, anyway, let me get this out of the way here. All right, so now some people are going to find what I'm about to share a tad bit unbelievable. And I must admit, I wouldn't blame you one bit if you do. But then truth can be stranger than fiction at times. There's a reason for that. And when I ran across this information many, many years ago, decades in fact, I was a bit apprehensive to speak on it for obvious reasons. You know, I never talked about it on the street except for vaguely. You know, I would answer questions and in that respect. And unless they ask for documented proof, we didn't go too far with it. And so I don't want to come off as some UFO hunter wearing a tinfoil bonnet, because I just don't believe in UFOs at all. I know what they are. And I don't even bother watching the UFO videos. Once in a while, one will crawl across my desk, and yeah, I'll leave a comment down there and share some truth with them. But after the topic kept coming up in the mainstream media week after week, as well as all over YouTube, and of course other social media outlets that I don't use, and I especially noticed how the media is presently pushing it more and more lately, with the so-called sightings being placed on supposedly reputable broadcast channels and stuff. And in fact, just a few months ago, I heard about a retired astronaut and an Air Force pilot. Both these guys were retired, so now they could say whatever they want, right? They don't have to worry about their pensions and anything else. And so now they come out and say the things that they're saying, maybe because they need some money, right? Who knows? And so they're paid to say these things. But they said that while they were on a mission, they never spoke of it till now. And I just think, oh, that's pretty convenient. And so with all that being said, I had to say something, especially since I found proof that the Vatican actually invented the UFO agenda hundreds of years ago. And I got proof. And just recently I came across some stats that show they are getting ready to do something quite drastic using this agenda to deceive even more people. And due to their political clout and the strange and often fabricated statistics on UFO sightings that has increased off the charts, it looks like they're heading in that direction. I mean, for example, I'll go into a little detail as to what I think is really going on here. And it's not so much that they're going to use this to get everybody, because most people don't believe this folderol anyway, but they need to get everybody in one camp when it comes to their way of thinking, and this is just one method to do so. But check this out. In 1905, there was just one sighting of a UFO reported in all the world. Okay? We all know that, you know, I don't know, what was it, the Wright brothers? It wasn't that the late 1800s or something like that. In other words, we didn't have aircraft yet, and so no one was looking up. But why weren't the UFOs there before then? No one seems to see the common sense in that respect. They go, well, why all of a sudden? You know, but anyway, then 75 years later, in 1980, 5,000 sightings alone in 1980. 5,000. And in 2010, there were 45,000 sightings. And if you log the so-called sightings, you're going to find that in the last 100 years alone, people have claimed to see UFOs over 105,000 times. It has gotten so frequent that in February of 2017, Fox News made a special report on it and noted that in the USA, the sightings are 300 times more frequent than in any other nation. That doesn't shock me a bit, because most people in all the other nations already know about how the Americans are quite gullible, you know, just by the things we do. I mean, or just by the diets and the drugs that our doctors give, or the food additives that are in our food that every other nation on earth says is poison. Yeah, well, you know, the Americans chaw down. Well, we don't, but you know what I mean. And we have also noticed that even though every person who claims to have seen such things also had a cell phone, well, recently anyway, had a cell phone, and most cell phones have very high-end, high-pixel cameras on them, yet why is it they never seem to get a good enough picture to convince anyone of what they're looking at? Well, it's either it's a very grainy picture, or they can't hold the camera still. It's flying all over the screen. You can't get any. And then when you were able to stop the screen, well, it's going to be all smeared because they're moving the camera too fast. Well, it's being done to keep the mystery going, because when the herd of sheeple grows, the belief grows with it, no matter how unbelievable it may be. That's just the way humans are. So perhaps now is the best time for us to speak on it, since it appears to be a hot topic politically. In fact, a few decades ago, Ronald Reagan, who we all know worked hand-in-hand with the Pope to give Rome absolute power over the White House, that's why he faced them all in his second inauguration instead of doing it in the front, on the front lawn, he actually spoke of UFOs. And okay, before anybody throws eyebrows up, well, it was because of the bad weather. Do some research. There was much worse weather before and after that, and well, before that, and they never went to the backyard, ever. It was because it was a Jesuit sign that if you get a president to face them all, it tells all the other guys out there, we've got the control. We own the White House. And so he actually spoke of UFOs on camera before a loud crowd that sparked the interest of some of the movers and shakers of the world that would eventually grant them global control over most nations. But I'm going to get back to that in a little bit. And yeah, it'll be in today's part, you know. And by the way, since the reporters aren't shying away on this topic anymore, and that's only because millions now believe this falderal, I couldn't help realize there must be a reason for this happening right now. They used to literally laugh on camera and joke about it in the media whenever it was brought up. And yes, most people laughed right along with them and joined in to ridicule the people seeing such things. But not anymore, if you noticed. Perhaps by the end of this sermon, you're going to understand the reason they're pushing this sinister agenda right now. At least that's my hope. Before sharing, let me make one thing perfectly clear. I do not in any way, shape, or form, believe there are little green men or strange alien life forms from other planets with the ability to travel to our world in a spacecraft. Because if there were, why didn't they show up before we invented airplanes? But that, still, that has nothing to do with that or anything. Because they could have, or they didn't have to, whatever. However, I do believe some of the Vatican prelates either do believe this due to demonic manifestations right before their very own eyes, and those of us that used to delve in the occult before we became Christians like myself, yeah, these things will actually stand in front of you. And so these prelates are like cardinals, bishops, you know, stuff like that, and popes, they're prelates. But they manifest right before their eyes, or at the very least, they want their flock to believe it due to what I've discovered over the years regarding a strange process that will grant their desire to rule the world from Rome. This is just one of many cogs in the wheel, but this is a really goofy one, and that's why I never really bothered to touch on it, But it's getting ridiculous in the news lately with this stuff, so I figured I'd go for it. So, but do I believe there are humans under the plants in the universe? Yeah, I do. I do believe this for two reasons. Number one, to think God only created humans on Earth seems a bit idiotic and quite conceited if you think about it. I mean, seriously, if he only created humans for this planet, that would mean all the universe is nothing more than a bunch of wasted space with beautiful quasars and supernovas dotting the black and eternal expanse for no one to look upon, except us. And we got to use telescopes to do that. And number two, did not Paul the Apostle speak of the other worlds more than once in the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. And yeah, all the notes are below the sermon in the room for those of you who are new. But Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, plural. Right? We all know what the word world means, right? Okay. And so Hebrews 11, verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And what about all the Christians that gain heaven reigning as kings and queens with Christ? 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And then Revelation 22:5, it says, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Since Christians, now think about this, since Christians are the only ones going to the city of New Jerusalem, or heaven as most call it, who are we going to reign over? Because the Bible's clear, we're going to reign forever and ever, and we're going to reign with him. But who are we reigning over? Each other? Well, that sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? I mean, how could a king reign over another king that reigns over him at the same time? Well, it don't make sense. And the queens, same thing. There has to be more, there must be people for us to reign over out there in the vast universe, and there won't be, they're not going to be little green men as these many UFOs fanatics believe today. And so again, no, I don't believe little green men exist as alien life forms. And yes, there are people on the other worlds that God created in his image. To think otherwise is to both deny scripture as well as limit the power of our God. If he can create this one world with its vast amount of life forms that even our scientists haven't found yet, all of them, especially when it comes to the oceans, and when we look at the stars to find there are not only billions of galaxies out there, there are trillions of planets, trillions. And that's just what we can see from here. And to think we are it shows how prideful man can be. I mean, how can a Christian believe that God created life on our world and was unable to do so on all the other worlds, or even trillions of them for that matter? See, if people would wrap their brains around the reality that we have a special duty. Satan was only cast to this planet and this planet alone. And there's a reason for that. We're going to be ambassadors for Christ throughout eternity. We have special duties to do throughout eternity that the people on the other worlds aren't going to be doing. We're that blessed. And that's what amazes me about some of these people on this planet, in this world, in this sin-sick world. Why do they prefer to just live it up until they old and decrepit and before they even start thinking about doing things for the Lord? In Scripture, we find the following undeniable fact regarding the method by which our God creates. Okay? Genesis 1:26. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And then we all know where it goes from there, right? I mean, the God of all creation made man to depict his image. And look around. Do you or your neighbor have a bulbacious head with massive lenses for eyeballs, or a black big eyeballs? Or how about a thin skull shaped nose, like a, you know, like a skull, like no nose protruding, just two holes in your head, no lips, and a chin like the size of a knuckle? I mean, do you or anyone you know have wire-like arms and legs devoid of muscle, as well as not a strand of hair anywhere on our bodies? And are humans, as God created them, completely lacking sexual organs, which with shiny, green, worm-like skin, as we see in all those so-called alien sightings? Of course not. So either he's the God of this world, which is Satan, or he's the God of the universe, which is the Creator. See, that's where the devil's going with that. lot of people, they're very short-sighted. They can't see past our atmosphere for some reason, even though when you look up, you can see so much stuff. Mankind has the features of the very God that created them, just as he said he would. Therefore, those little green men are one of two things. Number one, they're all a scam designed to generate fear and therefore do not exist in any way, shape, or form. It's just a government thing, and the government is involved in doing that stuff too, but it's not where it ends, because number two, they're fallen angels, demons, if you will, masquerading as aliens to further deceive the masses. And I'll get into that a little later. But interestingly enough, to further fan the flames of confusion, just a few years ago, the Vatican stated this in writing. Okay? And this was in 2008. This isn't hundreds of years ago. All right, 2008, it says, in an interview published Tuesday by Vatican newspaper, and I'm not going to, I think, what is it, El Osservatore Romano, Funes, some guy named Funes said this, that such a notion doesn't contradict our faith. We ain't talking about aliens, extraterrestrials. He says it doesn't contradict our faith because aliens would still be God's creatures. The interview was headlined, the extraterrestrial is my brother. And again, that was the Associated Press, May 13, 2008. That's the AP. That's not, fake news. In the next one, in a Vatican newspaper titled The Extraterrestrial is My Brother, some priest called Jose Gabriel Funes, again the same guy, said the expansiveness of the universe means that there could be life on planets other than Earth. Human beings could even consider another life form an extraterrestrial brother because it too would be one of God's creatures, just as we consider earthly creatures as a brother and sister. Why would we not talk about an extraterrestrial brother? It would still be part of creation. Okay, now this all makes sense, right? Because it's all true, actually, if you think about it. If you look at it the way Paul talks about the other worlds, well, yeah. But that's not where they let this hang. I mean, they always use truth mixed with error for an agenda that helps Satan, their dying god of this world. And then finally, it says, and this is from the CNS, Vatican City News, by John Favis, which is also, CNS is also the Catholic News Service of the Vatican. It says, if aliens exist, they must be a different life form that does not need Christ's redemption, the Vatican's chief astronomer said. So, color me confused, but why is it the Vatican is saying in one article that the space aliens would be our brothers and sisters in Christ, and in the next they're saying they don't need to be redeemed for their sins? I mean, confusion is the easiest and most absolute fruit used to identify Babylon. I mean, that's what the word means, Babylon, to mix truth with error. So the human mind of the prelates simply cannot grasp truth because of their demon-inspired calling to keep the lie going. I mean, for this, I thank them, as they make our job that much easier. I mean, sad thing is, however, when they speak of 1.2 billion people, listen. I mean, that's how many are in their church, and not to mention all the others outside the Catholic Church that trust the prelates of Rome. And this is how easy they make it for us to expose them in Rome. For them to say God created these little green men that at the same time have no resemblance whatsoever to the image of that very same God we know created all that is seen and unseen is to say Scripture is a lie on two points. Number one, they are declaring God lied when he created in his image. If these are people, it's one thing to have them be animals, because, boy, there's all sorts of different kind of animals out there, in the oceans and on land, and in the sky. And so, yeah, he runs the gamut there. And then number two, they claim God is not a creator at all, because the aliens are either a lesser or even more evolved creature than mankind. And in point number two, that mindset offers the idea that evolution is actually scientifically sound, as the last three popes literally claimed in writing, and yeah, I got it online. And so according to the popes of Rome, none of us were created at all. Anyway, now are you starting to see why they invented the UFO agenda? I'm not even halfway through this sermon. I mean, that bold-faced lie of theirs allows them to keep the lie going that we're all the product of seeds planted on this planet by those extraterrestrials who are nothing more than the Johnny Appleseed sowers of the universe. And yes, millions of people actually believe that falderal, and so if there is no real creator, well, then there's no real need to bow to him and stop sinning. I mean, if you notice, all the modern-day space alien movies and TV shows have a constant theme throughout that declares all the aliens they encounter are in various forms of, you guessed it, evolution. Every one of them. Especially with Star Trek. I mean, this religion of evolution has always found a friend in Rome. As strange as some may think this is, Rome, again, uses their long-prophesied confusion card of Babylon to preach their message. One minute they say Christ is creator and Lord, the next they say we all evolved from apes. I mean, notice this. Three articles. First one, headline, Vatican to Catholics, listen to scientists. And a cardinal. It says, this is a subheading. It says, cardinal, believers otherwise risk becoming prey to fundamentalism. In other words, the stuff we preach. They call it fundamentalism. And this was posted in 2005, November 3rd of 2005, on WorldNet Daily, no less. It says, the Vatican today warned Catholics that if they do not listen to the contentions of modern science regarding the origin of life and other issues, they risk falling prey to fundamentalism. In other words, if you don't believe in evolution, then you're going to be a nutty Protestant. A real one, anyway. And then Cardinal Poupard told reporters, but we also know the dangers of religion that severs its links with reason and becomes prey to fundamentalism. In other words, you believe your Bible the way it's written. That's fundamentalism. A papal representative reaffirmed John Paul II's 1996 assertion that evolution was more than just a hypothesis. That's right. Saint John Paul II today literally declared in 1996 that evolution was scientific fact. That was the first pope that said something about it. Then Ratzinger did it, and now Francis did it. Well, I always call him Ratzinger, even though he calls himself Benedict. But I don't know, I just can't get used to calling him that. But next headline, Vatican official refutes intelligent design. This is 2005, the Associated Press. Again, this ain't no fake news. This is years before the fake news thing even started getting ridiculous. It says the Vatican's chief astronomer said Friday that intelligent design isn't science and doesn't belong in science classrooms. Did you hear that? Creation is a lie and shouldn't be in classrooms. That's what he's saying, intelligent design. Intelligent. In other words, God created this or that. It says the latest high-ranking Roman Catholic official to enter into the evolution debate in the United States said intelligent design isn't science, even though it pretends to be. Last week, Pope Benedict XVI waded directly into the evolution debate by saying the universe was made by an intelligent project and criticizing those who, in the name of science, say its creation was without direction or order. And then this last one says, creationism dismissed as a kind of paganism by a Vatican astronomer. And I don't know what the date was on this one. I got the article. It looks like 2006, April, I think, 2006, in the Scotsman.com. I'm just hovering over the link here. And Ian Johnson declared this. And he says, believing that God created the universe in 6 days is a form of superstitious paganism. The Vatican astronomer guy calls Con Solomagno claims it. That's a rough name. It says brother, and then Con Solomagno, which means he's Roman Catholic. He's a prelate who works in the Vatican Observatory in Arizona and as curator of the Vatican Meteorite Collection in Italy said a destructive myth have developed in modern society that religion and science were competing ideologies. Now keep in mind, this so-called Christian Vatican never refuted that brother from saying this, or even so much as rebuked the Vatican employed authors of those statements, let alone the reporters that posted them for all the world to see. And why do you suppose that is? Well, in the movie Star Wars or Battlestar Galactica or Star Trek and a host of others, we see ample evidence that they believe in evolution to the fact throughout the universe, every alien is in a stage of evolution. In those movies, and the topic of a godless evolving universe is repeatedly brought forth in each and every plot. As a matter of fact, I remember one time I used to watch the Next Generation Star Trek thing, and Picard was saying something to the effect that he wasn't going to put that myth on these people, where they actually thought he was a god, and so he didn't, you know, worshiping a god and all this other stuff. He says, I'm not going to have that kind of mythology pushed on these people. And they were literally pointing towards Christianity in all the comments. I can't remember exactly what the words were that he said, but it was obvious to me that he was talking about Christianity, and that's That was many, many years ago before I got rid of the TV. But I even saw a movie years ago wherein they showed an ancient being that was similar to the Little Green Man, only a bit more with the human features, and he was kind of all white, or she. Well, it was a he-she kind of a thing, like no gender thing, absolutely no gender. And it was made of light, who declared to be the father of all of us by stating that his race went about the universe planting seeds of human DNA and all the primordial ooze that they could find that appeared on each and every young planet that they knew would sustain life. And this stuff becomes very popular, especially to people that don't read Bibles. Since this has happened in every science fiction movie, it proves an agenda is actually afoot. It's in all those movies, all of them. I mean, seriously, how is it possible for so many different Hollywood producers to have an exact same message as a foundation in these films, unless they are, you know, in cahoots, or there's a demonic influence running at the core? I mean, in other words, Hollywood is directly attacking God's word and his eternal station as creator, and they are using the movie theaters and TV shows to preach against it at every turn that they can find. And just so you know, Universal Studios is by far the largest known producer of these demonic films, and the word universal in Latin is Catholic. That's right, the word Catholic is a Latin term. It means universal in English. And by the way, this is also why Rome changed the Sabbath from the seventh day to the first day of the week, and all the world followed after her. The Sabbath also proves God is the creator. See, that's another one of those cogs in the wheel. This UFO thing is the one I'm talking about today, is just one of them. But the Sabbath also proves God is the creator, and they simply can't tolerate that. The alien agenda is just another front, just like evolution is another front, an attack on God's law. And by the way, when they say anyone that doesn't agree with them are those that risk falling prey to fundamentalism, according to Rome, the basic definition of fundamentalism is to be a real non-Catholic who is a Bible-believing Christian. And they fear that type of person so much that they fabricate all sorts of comments against them to keep their flock in check. Because as most of us have seen over the years, whenever a Catholic leaves the church and embraces the Word of God, Satan has those closest to them go on the attack to pull at their heartstrings. If that don't work, well, then they bully them. And if that don't work, then they just simply ridicule them for the rest of their lives because they refuse to come back to the church. But some do. My wife and I know this for a fact, as we saw this attack upon us, and I saw it happen to three of my siblings and some of my friends. And sadly, all of them went back into Catholicism to prevent losing the love and the honor of their families. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10, verses 36 to 38? He said, "A man's foe shall be of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Now, he's not telling you to go out and hate them. But he's saying, you know, who are you going to trust more? And he goes on, he says, "And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." All this alien agenda does is slowly but surely manipulate mankind into accepting the demons masquerading as little green men, who Rome claims are an extraterrestrial race. And how does this help them? Well, a few ways. Number one, it cultivates the idea that more intelligent beings exist outside the human race, which then leads to alien worship. And if anybody remembers David Bowie, he had an album literally titled Loving the Alien. Number two, it teaches evolution is real, because they teach the aliens have evolved more than we have. It teaches God is nothing more than an alien was super intelligent himself, so that he can go around, you know, plant seeds. Number four, and as shocking as this may sound to some, if this alien agenda cultivates more followers, when the city of heaven descends from above 1,000 years after the second coming, as we that study prophecy understand to be truth, Satan can actually use all this to preach to his minions that the city of heaven is actually an evil mothership. Now, okay, so that's a bit far-fetched, but he can use it, if you think about it. I mean, there are people out there that would believe it, and so if they'll believe it, he'll run with it. I mean, I get this idea from seeing how Hollywood movies keep on making movies wherein mankind, as a global race, keeps on fighting an evil alien race, and a mothership always seems to be descending from above every time. And it also teaches mankind, number five, it also teaches mankind and must that they must come together as one against a common enemy if the alien is real. And especially if the aliens are evil. And we know about today, evil's good, good's evil. So guess who's evil now? You and I. And to be honest, the list can be quite long as to how the enemy of God can use a little green man theology against us, even today. Even today, this strange alien agenda has even been used by Satan to cause mass suicides, as we saw when the cult Heaven's Gate thought that the comet Hale-Bopp was carrying their alien brothers and sisters in the tail, and the only way they can get on board that ship was to kill themselves. You know, I recall as a young, devout, rosary-reciting Roman Catholic that as I had dabbled in the occult at the same time, I ran across books of the occult wherein I found many pictures of what I thought were depictions of aliens. I kid you not. When I asked about the ridiculous pictures of the little green men in the occult reference books that I got from some friends, I guess, I was informed that the little green man was a ruse used by Satan long ago to cultivate acceptance of his demons, wherein they can become not only commonplace, but widely accepted. In other words, those that delve and then embrace the occult are right now laughing out loud because they know those little green men are not pilots of UFOs at all. They know they are nothing more than a manifestation of a demon to a novice dabbler so as to prevent from scaring them off. I mean, could you imagine, seeing Satan in all his de-glory, I guess you could say? It's going to scare people. You know, some of them dig so deep in the occult that they actually conjure such things before the eyes of man. And like I said, I was going to get back into this. Back in the 1980s, President Ronald Reagan, who, by the way, allowed the Jesuits to take control of the White House, as I said earlier, he used an alien issue as a way to plant seeds on how we should all come together against the common enemy. As prophesied, the common enemy of Rome is, of course, those fundies out there. Christians, real ones. As the prophecy regarding Armageddon confirms, right? But he, nor any political leader, is going to say that out loud. Henry Kissinger, former U.S. Secretary of State, also spoke of such a scenario as a positive end result to a negative threat. Real or imaginary, their exact words are as follows. And I actually have a video clip on my website of this first one. This is Ronald Reagan. Said this on September 21st, 1987, when he was addressing no less than the United Nations. Seriously, the video is right there in front of everybody in the United Nations. So all these political leaders worldwide heard him say this. He said, perhaps we need some outside universal threat. I occasionally think how quickly our differences would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And then Kissinger said in 1992, on May 21st, and he was speaking at a Bilderberg meeting in Evian, France. He said, today's Americans would be outraged if United Nations troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. Remember how I was saying that, in regards to September 11th? Oh, you can't do those things in this country. And then after the towers fell, oh, please do those things in this country. Take away our rights. Well, that's what he's saying here. If they were to enter Los Angeles to restore order, they would be against it. They'd be outraged. Tomorrow, they're going to be grateful. Going on, he says, this is especially true. If they were told there was an outside threat from beyond. Again, think about this. These are leaders of the state. This is Henry Kissinger. This isn't some guy in a soapbox on the end of some street in your neighborhood. And he's got a global audience here. He says, this is especially true if they were told there was an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead with world leaders to deliver them from this evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by their world government. So he was covering both sides of that coin on that one. The New World Order, the Ten Toes of Daniel, as well as the Mark of the Beast. And so by planting this seed of an extraterrestrial global assault by aliens into the minds of millions, would it not be natural that most would feel the need to come together to fight them as a human race? Even if it's only a suggestion, real or imaginary, the statement is made for that same desired effect to be well planted in the minds of millions. So yes, it's a natural reaction for a race of beings to seek union on such an issue. Am I saying there's going to be an alien invasion? Is their plan? No, not at all. And please don't quote me otherwise, or I'm literally going to make it public. And I'm, of course, talking to the people on the radio, because I have no idea who's on there. And so, but actually, I don't know if they're going to do this or even care. It doesn't matter at this point. Prophecy doesn't speak of it. So I'm not going to hang my hat in that corner. But one can see how valuable this is to them as they are focusing heavenly upon it. And if you think about how they need this kind of a mindset in the people so that they can make us look like a global threat to everybody, you know where I'm going with that, right? So the wise thing to do would be to keep your eyes open. But I will say this. I wouldn't put it past them after seeing what they've done in the past. And I'll get into that in a minute or so. But a thought comes to mind that they can use this as an excuse regarding the Vatican Observatory that is always searching the heavens. You know, where that guy quoted from that was talking about evolution, that brother so-and-so in Arizona. And yes, they named that telescope Lucifer. I kid you not. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Like I was saying in the beginning, truth is stranger than fiction. My personal opinion regarding why they have that telescope is to keep an eye on the Orion Nebula. For that cloud, that is, you know, it's prophesied to come from there. But when asked, they can just say, they're, you know, we're just looking for intelligent life out there. And on the other hand, this agenda appears to be nothing more than a surefire way to test the waters for a global leader who is hell-bent on ruling the world to plant seeds in the hearts of the sheeple that he can use to his advantage when that day comes. Manipulating the mind in one direction always gives easy entry for the real agenda. Isn't this how most educational processes work already? Seriously, think about it. I mean, take any subject in your grade school curriculum, and you're going to find one method wherein certain examples are taught so as to better learn a different reality at the same time. This is actually done all throughout life. What I mean is, quite often, we are taught one detail in reality, only to learn a better way of performing another detail later on. It's an ingenious way to learn how to do something, and God's the first one that came up with it, and I can prove it. Joseph, in the book of Genesis, was taught how to rule well with Pharaoh by being sold into slavery and then jailed for many years. So don't question the Lord when you got those trials coming on you. Or about what about King David, who was taught to how he was taught how to rule well his people as a king by his many experiences as a sheep herder, no less. What Joseph or David learned in their youth, some may say, had absolutely nothing to do with what they would be doing in their later years. But Joseph let the cat out of the bag when he told his brothers that the Lord planned it all that way. I mean, nonetheless, they needed those experiences to be able to do the task later on in life in the same way Rome's UFO agenda is going to be used against the masses today. That's why I really don't think they're going to use it en masse. I could see them using it on a bunch of people that don't really educate themselves, don't read this or don't read that, and certainly don't read Bibles. Yeah, they can use it on the smaller people, let's say, but it allows for them to have the mindset that's ready and waiting for the next shoe to drop. This UFO agenda can be used to teach the people in the exact same way the Lord teaches his people in life's lessons. I have said time and time again that Satan will always use God's method with an evil twist on them because they're effective. The way God does it, it's perfect. So run with it, but you got to put a twist on it because you're Satan, right? So even if they never actually manifest an alien threat, they can use the pre-manufactured mindset of that threat to get millions to follow them blindly as a way to go after a common enemy. Remember what Ronald Reagan said. And does not prophecy declare all the world will come against the remnant of God as a global common enemy of mankind one day very soon? Yeah, that's right. I'm speaking about Armageddon. And so this UFO agenda, as well as all the violent video games, all the other cogs in the wheel, the violent video games, the violent movies, the violent sports, just to name a few, and the violent music, is very effective way. It's a very effective way of teaching the masses to get used to following their lead and even attack when told to do so. And Satan knows it. And he knows he can use it. And it could be effective in a global assault. There's a bunch of these little cogs, and they all work differently. UFO agenda is just one of them. Once the mindset is cultivated, it's going to grow into whatever level the teacher needs it to grow. Any school teacher can tell you that. And yes, this is why we saw the U.S. government actually allow that school shooting in Florida so as to create a need to better manipulate the children into doing as they wanted them to do. You know, like educating them on how to become political pawns who actually think they can benefit by nullifying the Constitution, which we know will soon be trashed, according to prophecy. And so they allowed the school shooting. Because with the Sandy Hook and all the other fake shootings, you didn't really get anybody coming out of the schools to, you know, demand a voice. Because nothing really happened. But if you actually kill, oh yeah, some of those teenagers are going to come out with a voice. And they did. So if you've ever played chess, you know how misdirection can be very prosperous in how you manipulate and then attack your opponent. Look at the global fear agenda of today as a prime example. Big government has been generating fear via the terrorist agenda on a daily basis, and most people fall for it because they don't live in the countries the government claims are the problem. But thanks to the internet now, people in those areas are actually speaking out, exposing lies, and this is why fake news agenda was created to make the truth come out as fake and vice versa. And that's why they block my videos in certain nations, and your videos in certain nations. In certain nations, we can't see their videos. Where they're telling us, look, it ain't that bad, like the American news media is saying. And so they won't let us see it. But there's ways around that, of course, just by using proxy, you know, a proxy ISP. And so the enemy of souls knows how well fear works on even Christians because of how he saw he was able to use it on in the past. I mean, look at how he used the fear of death on Peter, the apostle, as he walked towards Jesus, literally on the water, right? We know Jesus walked on the water, but Peter got out there too, and he's walking on the water. Satan misdirected Peter's mind to look away from Christ just long enough to cultivate the fear of dying, because Peter allowed the wind and the troubled waves to misdirect his mind, to think in fearful ways. And that's why he sunk. I mean, Peter knew Jesus would protect him. I mean, come on already. Peter was walking on the water. But as is obvious, all Satan needed to do was remind Peter how dangerous the water was and can be, especially on a stormy night. You know, the powers that be can use this UFO or fear agenda as a way to convince billions to fight a common enemy. And right now they are pumping all sorts of ideas and Hollywood movies and evil aliens from other worlds, you know, that are recklessly determined to wipe out the human race unless we all come together as one to face them on Earth, right? I mean, even if it's only a subliminal suggestion at the time, just like the way the Lord allowed Joseph and David to be taught in their youth, it can be used to generate the thought process of the need to defeat a common enemy when that time comes. And if you study prophecy, you know where that is leading. This doesn't have to be much more than just a seed planted in the minds of billions so that when the already prophesied day arrives, it'll be child's play for them to gather all the world against God's remnant people. And yes, this is why Christians are hated by most today. Armageddon is what Satan is recruiting the wicked for right now. Before our very eyes. And if you notice the violent sports, the movies, the video games, the music, you know he's training them to kill as well. I mean, seriously, how can it become popular to kill your fellow man? Well, they did it. They figured out how to do it. You know? And that's why the Hollywood movies came first. Then you had the video games. Now they could partake in what they saw in the movies. And so this is why Hollywood movies about aliens have them threatening our existence on a global race. As a global race, rather. I'll close with this. And I'm sorry I went a little long, but this stuff, there's a lot of it. I mean, Satan knows about that long prophesied day. This is what he's been working for 6,000 years, right? But 99.9% of the human race doesn't. So to the lost souls of the world, this agenda seems foolish and unwise or completely harmless and make-believe. And so and 9 times out of 10, it is. It's just mind food. It's all it is. To get them to do what they're going to want them to do later. And so when the prophesied disasters begin to grow off the chart, as we see have already begun, it's one of the final prophecies. We're seeing it now. Would not this type of mindset, cultivated by Rome and their prelates in Hollywood, be the means by which to preach to all that everyone must come against the common enemy that is causing the calamities to grow in number and in strength? The powers that be are prophesied to actually do just that. They will come against us, the commandment-keeping, prophecy-understanding remnant people of God, who they claim as the reason for the disasters. And for those that don't think this is possible, Are you aware they already tested this idea a few short years ago to see how much of a problem such a suggestion would generate worldwide? When that Christmas tsunami hit on that Sunday, which was the Roman Sabbath, no less, a Vatican-approved and Jesuit-cultured Presbyterian minister stated the following in the global news media, and it was reiterated on WorldNet Daily in 2005, February 13th, 2005. He said this. I just read this excerpt. It says, a Christian minister claims the tsunami of Sunday, December 26, killing at least 160,000, which actually was 300,000 when they got the other bunch of numbers in. 160,000 people was direct result of pleasure seekers breaking God's Sabbath. Prophecy's that accurate, right? I mean, seriously. That's why I can't understand how people still can't get their minds wrapped around Sunday laws. I mean, how accurate do you want a prophecy? But anyway, it goes on. It says that so many of our fellow creatures should have perished in so short a time in so awful a fashion was a divine visitation that ought to make men tremble the world over. But keep in mind, while he was saying that, there was a church behind him, a church building way in the distance behind him that was involved in that tsunami where everybody in that church was in church on Sunday and they all drowned. But he doesn't mention that, of course. So with the exception of this ministry and a few of my close friends in ministry, I have been unable to find a single website or church body speaking out about that statement that that Presbyterian minister made in a negative way, or even in a prophesied manner for that matter. You know, those 501c3 preachers that act like they're the SDA types that act like they're out there preaching prophecy. Why did they ever mention that? And since the 501c3 government-approved pastor is already bound to Rome's command, it appears the people sitting in the pews are ready for the next step, and they know it. And that is what we are going to discuss in part two of this sermon. Hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears will dim the earth, all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day,
Amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us eyes that see. And thank you for giving us hearts that desire to be prepared. And thank you for teaching us how to trim our lamps. Please bless us in the coming days with more courage, faith, discernment, wisdom, and even love for each other. And for you, because you are the one that loved us first. Thank you for blessing everyone that was in attendance today and all those that are on our prayer list, especially those mentioned earlier in the text chat. And Father, if it be your will, please ready our hearts to be ready for that latter rain that comes upon your son's bride to go forth and proclaim that loud cry. We want to go forth. We want to glorify you. So thank you for blessing us with that and hearing this prayer in the name of your Son, our Savior, and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.